Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Good morning. Welcome to Quilted Bananas. And we are very excited to have in the studio today Kim Hunt, who is a crime writer who we've talked to before, largely about her previous novels in the Carl Nix series. But today we're going to be talking with Kim about a new book coming out. But first of all, thank you for joining us today for the Quilted Bananas program on Access Radio 106.1 FM. We are radio by and for queer, intersex, intersectional, lesbian, takatāpui, trans, NB, diverse, bisexual, ace and nanas, and that's where Quilted comes from. And as you can tell, we live broadcast on Te Whanganui a Tara Wellington on Sundays at 10 a.m. on 106.1 FM. And before we start the show, we'd also like to say a big thank you to the Rule Foundation, who are a sponsor for Quilted Bananas Radio, and the grant from the Peter Rule Fund has paid for our Access Radio time, allowing us to make our voices heard live and also via podcast you can download later. And you can find out more about the Rural Foundation by visiting ruralfoundation.nz. And I introduced Kim, but I forgot to introduce us. So this is me, Fiona, and Sue, who I'm about to put on air. Welcome, Sue.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's very perky, isn't it? That's quite That's what happens if you spend most of yesterday asleep with a migraine, is that you? And then have a coffee.
You're doing very well, Sue.
Drive into the radio.
Yeah.
Perk up.
Yeah. Oh, that's no good.
Yeah. And I think Kim had a wee comment that all those quilted bananas things is either all the weirdos or all the best people. The best people was my contribution to that.
I called them all freaks, so including myself.
But actually, that's all the way through the book, isn't it? That's what he calls our hero.
Mm. Kim, I'll just get you to pull the microphone just towards you, just a little bit. So that would be great. Here we go. Excellent. Now, one of the things that I've loved in the past about talking to Kim is that Kim brings us wonderful music choices. And again, I'm really excited about the ones today because they're different. I think other times have been quite petrol-head ones, right?
A little bit.
But this time we've got quite a variety of tunes. So we've got four selections. I'm really hoping that we get to play all of them. But the first one that you've mentioned is a special song, Ten Commandments, right? Yeah? Do you want to tell us a wee bit about why you like the song?
Oh, I just love this style of music, and all the picks are excellent chicks. They're all badass, and you know, maybe your listeners are familiar with them, but it'd be great if we get through them all.
Cool. We'll do our best, eh?
Cool.
Okay, here we go with the specials.
Thanks.
The Commandments of I, Sophia Khan. Thou shalt not listen to Prince Buster or any other man offering kindly advice in matters of my own conduct. Or a femoid, and then see if I give a stinking shit. Pseudo intellectuals on the internet. They tell me I'm unhappy because I'm not feminine. Failing to consider that I may be unhappy because it's 3 a.m. and I'm in the depths of YouTube watching them. Whining. Thou may catcall me on the street, but thou should take note that I'll catcall you right back to tell you that you look pretty sexy too in your joggers or your suit or your newfound look of confusion. Yeah. should not turn on each other or use man-made ideals like PARS. Don't you realise that you're only making a fool of yourself when you ask, why don't you wear makeup? Is that what it takes to impress a bloke whose brain is made up of promises of curvy size zeros and anti-gravity tits? Thou should not tell a girl she deserved it because her skirt was too short. She walks home, streetlights illuminating her as a target. But she started it because she looked at him, and he finished it because he wanted to. And they'll bring out her skirt as Exhibit A before the judge. And she should have the right to say, thou shalt not tell me what to wear, nor how to wear it.
And that was Kim Hunt, her first selection, which was The Specials, 10 Commandments. And, yeah, you're back with the Quarter Bananas show, 106.1 FM. I'm Fiona, and Sue is here as well. We're co-presenting the Tangents show, and really excited to talk to Kim Hunt. So Kim has a new book coming out. We've received a pre-release copy, which we've been reading this week. And Kim, just before I read the blurb, can you tell us, this one is set in Aotearoa instead of Australia, where the Kalnick's ones were. Can you tell us a wee bit about that?
Yeah.
And the title, I forgot to mention the title.
Okay, thanks, Fee. The title is The Corrector. And I think in a previous conversation with you and Sue, we talked about the fact that my books were set in Oz, but I lived here in New Zealand. Well, I lived in Oz for about 25 years, and once I did the first Kalnick's, I kind of felt like she was a character who had legs, and I just wanted to get that series established. But by the time I got to the third one, I actually started the fourth one, which is sitting on the back burner. But I'd been living back here in New Zealand for about 10 years, and I really wanted to set a book here. And I'd started this book, an iteration of this book, The Corrector, it wasn't called that then, quite a while ago, and it had just sort of sat there in the background while I got the Kalnick's established. So it's really, really lovely for me to finally be sending it out into the world.
So it's really had time to percolate along.
It has, and
refine. So I'll read the blurb. I did ask him if I could read the blurb, even though it's, you know, pre-publication. The title is Be Careful Who You Cross, and it goes on to say, Evan leads a quiet, orderly life as a classic motorcycle restorer in a small seaside town until she witnesses a gang affiliate's nasty little secret. A body washes up on the coast several days later, dragging her further into a dangerous maelstrom. Turns out Evan was one of the last people to see the victim alive. For a humble and reserved character, this is wholly unfamiliar territory. Though skilled and capable when tinkering with old bikes, her life swerves into bewildering chaos as she confronts the violence and increasing darkness of her situation. Forced to take perilous countermeasures, this reluctant hero risks everything, descending to places she never imagined and entrusting her ultimate survival to one of the machines she herself has created. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So certainly the Kalnix books were all about cars, weren't they? All about cars. Well, I learnt more about cars as well as songs that Cal liked. But this one's all about bikes. So why bikes this time?
Well, I rode bikes before I drove cars, and I even worked in a bike shop for a number of years when I was young. I wouldn't say the Kalnix stories are all about cars.
No.
Hey, for God's sake, she's a park ranger. Come on.
I did learn a lot about park rangering as well and the various back blocks of New South Wales, right?
So, yeah. The Hawkesbury region. But, yeah, this one, well, you know, I had to have tinkering in there. So, and they say write what you know. So, you know, that got in there. I mean, it's just a thread in the story, but I guess the main thrust of the story is, you know, it's a crime novel. It's not a mystery as such. It's probably more a thriller maybe, but I've got to have some tinkering in there somewhere.
So I found that there's a number of differences between that and between the series, which are, you know, that's quite nice that you don't confuse who your characters are because they're all the same. And so we had the bikes. The other thing that I noticed that was much more prominent in this than I can recall it being was dogs. So you got me with bikes and dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
Because they've all got dogs, which is quite... And quite a different sense between Australia and New Zealand.
Yep.
Which is... it's kind of funny because overseas people tend to think of Australia and New Zealand as the same. And there's quite a different feel between the Australian and New Zealand.
Yeah.
So you started this when you were in Australia and looking back towards New Zealand?
Yeah, you're right. So I did. It was a very long gestation, this one. And it is different. Like Kalnix in the Kalnix series is a very different character, I feel, to Evan. I mean, they both tinker. That's about the only thing they have in common.
Do you think they'd be friends?
Do I think they'd be friends? Yeah, I think they probably would be, but they're very different. Cal is so brash and out there, and Evan's, she's not like that at all. I mean, she's quite a brave character as well, but definitely much more reserved than Cal, I'd say. Just not as in your face and impulsive and whatnot. Yeah. And yes, it's lovely to have dogs in there, and one dog in particular, Scout, who's Evan's offsider.
And actually, it's funny that you said that about Evan, because I had actually just copied a little bit of text from one of the chapters. Because I was wondering about that whole bravery thing with Evan as well. And you've written here, whatever lack she felt in herself, whatever shortcomings she was guilty of, she knew right from wrong. Sure, she had no authority, just her own sense of fair play. She had the ability to move around the country. She had eyes. She was resourceful and tenacious. She had to put herself to good use. Then the doubts bubbled up. She wasn't a gangster. She wasn't a warrior. If anything, she was kind of timid. But what the hell could she do? Knowledge is king. Pay attention. You'll figure something out. Make yourself useful.
I'm not sure she's got herself well assessed as being timid.
But she is reserved, though, I think, as a character, right?
Yeah, reserved. But I see, they never listen to you. When you talk to the people in the box, they and the same with people on TV, is they just never follow your advice.
Like, I know.
Maybe that's not a smart thing to do.
Did you give Evan some advice?
I gave Evan much advice.
Did you? Like,
no, what are you thinking? How's this going to work out well? But also I thought that Evan needs to know about the IVET.
What's the IVET?
There's a specialist IVET.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because there is a part of the story.
Yeah.
Something that happens to Evan's dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yep. We've had.
So Sue gave some advice to Evan about.
Yeah, I did. You know, look. You're near Palmy anyway. Well, near enough.
And that's the other part as well, is that you live on the Kapiti Coast, Kim. And so I guess I was kind of obviously, well, not maybe not obviously, but towns have been renamed. So it's set in it's partly set in a town called Puriri, right?
Yeah.
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 And there's
Ingleside.
Yeah. But Ingleside seems to be kind of fairly close to where Inglewood is in relation to Palmerston North, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe in the general central North Island sort of region.
Mm. Yeah. And so it's a very locally based book as well. And you can just, and I was saying to Kim before we came on the show that, I guess, like many people, you know, when I start to read a book, I really visualise it in my head. And this book, I was really quick to visualise everything about it.
Wow.
And, you know, kind of seeing the bank of the Tararuas on the side and that kind of thing, and where the story was kind of being set. So and the beach, Kapiti Coates beaches as well. So,
cool.
No, definitely looking forward to this book coming out for other people to see it, yeah. But this one's much more, I guess, in the Cal Nick stories, there are drugs as well and gangs to a certain extent, but not to the extent that there are here. Can you talk a wee bit about how you decided to kind of base it around kind of small town, everyone knows everyone, everyone's aware of the people to kind of avoid and that kind of thing?
Yeah. The genesis of the book was very much based in stuff that actually happened to me. Obviously, it's completely fictionalised now, and it's gone a long way from the things that initiated it. But when I first came back here in 98, 2000, I was actually stalked by someone. I was stalked by someone, and I ended up having to leave where I lived, change my name, live in hiding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so it's funny, didn't occur to me I'd have to talk about this. I didn't think that through, but that was the genesis of it. It was a very, very, very difficult time. I was kind of dealing with police and courts and stuff for years and years. And writing was part of my kind of survival of that time because it was incredibly traumatic.
Mm.
And I recently signed a petition about criminal harassment stuff. I can't even think of the name of it recently. And I signed it as a result of my experiences of being stalked. And I couldn't believe that it was 20 years since I lived through my experience, and yet women were still fighting to have criminal harassment recognised. Like, it, living through that, I mean, it kind of nearly killed me. It was a horrible, horrible time.
Oh, gosh.
And writing about it was a kind of way of getting through it. Yeah. So when you say set in a small town, gangs, blah, 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 that was the sort of milieu that I was literally living in.
Mm.
And So part of fictionalising it was developing that whole world and removing myself and my own experience, like, because it just turned, it was too hard to write about.
Yeah,
what,
no.
Even though that's what kind of kicked it off.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. And I guess one of the other parts of the story is about how Evan has a really good support network around her of friends who live really locally, like right next door kind of thing.
Gemma, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also some of the older people who live across the road and, some of the people who are certainly, you know, straddling that right and wrong side of the law, but are really supportive of Evan as well, right?
So as a character, she has Gemma who's got a little boy. She's a solo mum, and Gemma, and I think Gemma is. I'm actually writing the follow up to this story now, and Gemma is becoming. You know, I don't know, maybe there'll be a spin-off with Gemma and some other characters, but Gemma is a really feisty character. So she kind of, she is really staunch. She gives Evan a lot of support, and she's like a real, propulsion and foundation for Evan, I think.
Yeah, I didn't have a sense with Gemma that it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Where? And that's, you know, I mean, different people do have different, you know. So I think she does have some legs there, doesn't she?
Yeah. Gemma's not traumatised the way Evan is, so she's probably a bit more kind of stable.
But also, you know, her approaches to, you know, dealing with the problems are quite effective.
Yeah.
But having that support for the two of them, I think, is really good. You know, considering that the main protagonist is such a horrible person who basically lives as a neighbour to the both of them, right? Yeah.
Mose Hixon he's the main antagonist, I guess. And he's, I guess, a pretty unlikable character.
Awful, I put in my notes. Awful.
Yeah, I have to say, having lived next to a, I'd had a flat next door that sounded a bit like it was so recognisable. Actually, that having that over the fence neighbour, that was it sort of kind of grabbed me from just that sense of having that next door.
Sadly, probably a number of people have probably been in situations
and it's interesting that it's often the like the serious gang guys are quite, in many ways, quite disciplined. It's those fringe ones that,
like Hixon,
where he's sort of, you know, he'd probably want to be in that world, but lacks that kind of discipline and
absolutely. That's a really interesting observation, because there's a character in the next novel who's an affiliate. He actually appears in this one.
Oh, right.
Paul Gott.
Uh-huh.
He's in the next novel as well, and he's the complete opposite of someone like Hixon. He's very under the radar, very professional. Hixon's just out there. He's just a loose cannon.
Yeah, exactly. And he wants to kind of have his own power, doesn't his own autonomy, but he's continually kind of being thwarted by these people who are much more intelligent than him, basically, or much more structured than him. He can't break in, basically, though he wants to. And he's got his own little deals that are going on, right?
So one of the things that was really interesting when I was reading this was that I had a real sense that it's a different colour. The whole reading of it was a different colour to reading the Calnex.
Yeah.
So I found the Kalnicks, you know, sort of the sensor that is, that it was kind of the yellowy, orangey, reddy colour, whereas this is quite, you know, it was kind of a blue-green.
Wow.
And it's interesting because you commented in the, just in one of the descriptors about the terrain being the wrong colour, or the green of the fields being. So I thought that was really interesting. Do you think that New Zealand has that darker feel to it?
Psychologically.
Yeah, kind of that noir kind of feeling to it.
Well, it absolutely does. But, I mean, Aussie does too. Everywhere does, you know. That darkness and underbelly just kind of exists wherever there's humankind, I guess, you know. But culturally there are huge differences.
Yeah.
I just find that really interesting, the way you've described it as colours, because I think they have quite a different feel. I mean, I hope people that like reading crime fiction generally, you know, will enjoy the corrector if they enjoyed the Kalnicks books, but it is a different flavour or a different colour, as you say. But
both of, you know, the Kalnick series and this one, The Corrector, they're really gripping, though, in terms of just kind of, there's a momentum that kind of carries you along and makes you want to read more and kind of see what's actually going to happen and yeah, yell at even when she's doing something that she shouldn't do.
What are you doing?
Why aren't you telling anyone where you are? You know? Yeah. Gosh. Hey, I think since we're keen to get through all the picks that, of music that Kim has given us today, and just another mention as well, we're talking about The Corrector with Kim Hunt and some great music. And this one is Amyl and the Snifters, which is a great band name, and I wasn't aware of Amyl and the Snifters, but can you tell us a wee bit about this band?
It's Amyl and the Sniffers. She's an Aussie chick. She's really punk. She's got amazing politics. She kicks ass. She's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. We should definitely get into it then.
Okay. Hard to beat that description.
Here we go. This is You Should Not Be Doing That.
I'm not afraid to
And that was Amel and the Snifters. Sniffers. Goodness me, I've got sweets on the brain today. Amel and the Sniffers with the song You Should Not Be Doing That, a pick from Kim Hunt, who we're talking to today on Quilted Bananas Radio 106.1 FM on Wellington Access Radio. We're the Tangent Show with Fiona and Sue. And Sue, you wanted to talk to Kim a bit more about cars.
Because Kim has an interesting sort of, I won't say interesting. I live in a little enclave of petrol heads, and
lucky you.
And I'm the weirdo with the electric car. you sort of get you're a bit suspect when you've got an electric car and a thing full of petrol heads. But I do enjoy a good petrol head, passion for their world. So while I was reading this, I thought, now which of these bikes have you actually owned?
Oh, yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. 860 GTS Ducati, Turk. The hybrid hardtail frame Triumph engine, then Yamaha. Well, I've had a Triumph engine hardtail, Turk, but didn't put a Yamaha 650 engine in it. I've had a Harley. I don't think a Harley features in there. I've had a lot of bikes.
There's a mention of Harley, but not in there, which actually I approve of. I like the European. I once upon a time got called in to help my father's friend who had a Norton that he was getting running, and he had electrical problems, so I had to come and help him with his electrical problems. I had no idea. It's like, is there a wiring diagram? Where does everything go?
Electrical problems, Prince of Darkness on the side of the highway in the middle of the night, totally relate.
Ducati
and
electrical
Triumph,
problems.
Both of them, yes. Jamming matchsticks into the bloody wiring on the hand grip to try and make the contact work. Don't even go there. Yeah.
I'd never realised that that Yamaha 650 was a Triumph engine that actually worked. Because a friend used to give me a ride to university, or not to university, to our work. We're doing the prep work for the degrees, and he used to give me a ride on his.
On a 650 Yammy.
On a 650 Yammy.
I think a lot of people would feel that the Yammy engine was more reliable than the Triumph one, although, I realise that's what I'm saying, sacrilegious there, but yeah.
Sometimes the passage of time lets us say these things. the Bantam.
Oh, yeah, the little beta Bantam.
My father had had one of those.
Wow.
I think he might have got a few speeding tickets on it. So that was actually...
That was an achievement on a beta Bantam.
So he came to New Zealand after... All his money disappeared in speeding fines, and all his girlfriends found out about each other.
Wow.
So,
fun bloke.
He came to New Zealand after that. So, and I think on your website, there's some pictures of some project there. So, what's your current project?
Oh, the MGB. Yeah, MGB GT, got it very, very cheap for a reason. Half it was in boxes. I've never kind of thought I'd want to get one of those, but the missus was almost born on Silverstone racetrack. Her mum was 9 months pregnant in her mini dress with her big updo and her big, 60s. The whole nine yards. Plus her dad took her round Silverstone track in an Alpha. So it's been very established that ever since she was a little girl, muttering Emerson Fittipaldi, Ayrton Senna, et cetera, et cetera. Always wanted a British Racing green MGB GT. And I spotted one on Trade Me. I wasn't even looking for one. I found one, and it was in the Wellington region, which meant I could go and pick it up in my illegal, unwarranted, unregistered ute with a huge trailer on the back, go and pick up all the boxes and bits. Six cops I saw on the way, didn't get picked up, very anxious drive. Got it home, and I've been working on it ever since. Been working on the body, been working on the wiring, been working on the brakes, the clutch, the wheels. Currently having to get a new cylinder head. I'm sure everyone's eyes are glazing over. But suffice to say, I'm going to be videoing the day that I try and start it, because it hasn't run for 20-something years. It's lived in all sorts of backyards and garages, so that will be a momentous day.
It looked like you'd done a lot of work on it, even from the photos at the moment. I sort of have this imagination that it's come to you in not a good state, yeah. What a project.
Yeah, I can't sit at a computer and write for hours and hours and hours. I just can't. So I try and write in the morning, and then I have to do practical, physical, active things outside. So I need projects, and that's
a project.
That fulfills it, yeah.
Sounds good.
So it's the have you always sort of worked on sort of Australian beasts before? Is this, or have you done the English projects before?
Oh, okay. I've got a camper van. See, I buy old wrecks and do them up, you know. So every vehicle I have isn't actually worth a lot of money, but I kind of fix them up and get them back on the road. I've got a V-dub camper. An old, it's called a wedge or a vanagon, depending what country you're in. So that's a German thing. I've never had a rear engine horizontally opposed bloody barbada V-dub before. So that was a big learning curve. I've got an old Triumph Saloon TC 2500. So that's a Brit car. I've got a Jap ute. So I've had Jap things. I had an old Austin ute once that I got converted with a Datsun 180B engine, the mighty Dado Datsun 180B engine, and a Tirana front end and brakes and whatnot. That was my work vehicle.
It was like a Franken car.
Yeah, it was. It was so excellent. It looked, it's all standard on the outside.
So it looked like a standard.
Yeah. But it had an upgraded engine and gearbox and brakes.
It's a bit of a Kalnick's kind of beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Gosh.
So yeah, and in fact, the bike, Evan's bike, is also a, you know,
hybrid
yeah. beastie.
Mm. Yeah. It is a hybrid beast.
I'd never understood why anyone would want a hardtail.
Yeah.
But then you've explained that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But you're still not convinced, are you, Sue?
No, I'm too old for too old for having that transmitted through to me ass, thanks.
Totally get it.
Shall we have another piece of music?
Yeah.
Just to fit all of these in. This time we've got Charlie XCX with Billie Eilish of Guess, right?
Oh, he's so excellent. Okay, this one gets a mention in the next Evan Hart novel.
Oh, yeah. Okay, take it away.
Cool.
Hey, Billie, you there?
Uh-uh. You wanna guess the colour of my underwear? You wanna know what I got going on down there? Is it pretty in pink or all see-through? Is it showing off my brand new lower back tattoo? You wanna put them in your mouth, pull them all down south. You wanna turn this shit out, that's what I'm talking about. Put them in your mouth, pull them all down south. You wanna turn this shit out, that's what I'm talking about. Try it, lick it, spit it, pull it to the side and get all up in it. Wear him, post him, might be mix it, send him to the deli, I think he's with it. Try it, lick it, spit it, pull it to the side and get all up in it. Wear him, post him, might be mix it, eat it for lunch, it's so delicious. Boys, but she knows I'd hit it.
And that was super fast, yeah.
That was, what a sudden ending.
That was fun.
It was fun.
It is.
Gosh, one of the things that I really enjoy about being part of Quilted Bananas is that I'm always finding new music. And in fact, although I've loved the specials in the past, I didn't know anything about Ten Commandments. And I really like Wet Leg, which is the next one, which we're going to squeeze in,
sure. We're going to make sure we get that.
definitely. Now, one of the things that I know that Kim has been doing, and I should have mentioned, we're Quilted Bananas Radio 106.1 FM on Wellington Access Radio, and we're Sue and Fiona from The Tangent Show talking today to Kim Hunt, who's an author, with a first book coming out in a new series set in Aotearoa. In fact, it mentions Palmerston North, so I'm happy enough to say potentially Kapiti Coast, Horowhanua, yeah, somewhere like that, maybe. Do you think, Kim? Can we say
North
that?
Island,
Central
it?
North Island. Central North Island. Oh, okay, right. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. But no, I've been lucky enough to go to a couple of Niall Marsh award panels, which the library's put on, where a group of crime writers come and talk about the books that they're that they've put out, and Kim has been to several of those, three this year, haven't you, Kim?
Yeah, bumper year this year, because it's significant year. It's, I think it's 2015, I can't remember. It's an anniversary of the Niall Marsh Awards, and so they really went all out this year. But in the awards year, they have these panels at libraries all over the country to kind of put together authors, readers and libraries. It's promoting reading and promoting New Zealand crime writers. And it's kind of almost single-handedly done by Craig Sisterson, who's a Kiwi who lives in London. And it just kind of puts the focus on those things, and he asked me to be a part of three panels this year, which I hadn't kind of facilitated a panel before. I'd been on one, but I hadn't facilitated one, so that was new for me. It really pushed me.
Where did you do that? Was it
Carterton?
Ah, right,
Carpety, and in the Hut. I was just part of the panel of the one in the Hut, but The thing I love about those events is you get to meet other authors, which you often you just write books, but you never get to talk to other authors. But you get to meet the readers, the people who actually read the books, and librarians who are passionate about books. So it's this kind of nexus of loveliness where you get to meet and talk to the readers and whatnot. And I mean, otherwise you just don't meet these people face to face. So
As a participant in them and going along to hear all the crime writers talk about their books, it's just incredible to kind of hear where the books kind of came from, but also the conversations that happen amongst the authors as well are really interesting. Yeah, because they're generally a wide range of authors that are there, right, in terms of they are crime writing, you know, crime fiction, but the range of them is kind of everything from international to local and,
and cosy to hard-boiled to whatnot. The Carterton panel was fiction authors and non-fiction. Mm. So that was actually quite a challenge in terms of putting together questions, because the sort of things you ask a non-fiction author are really different to what you ask a fiction author. But, you know, again, I mean, it was a great turnout. They even had a cake there for Nio Marsh's birthday. It was celebrating her birthday. It was just a lot of fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Warwick is quite sort of booky, isn't it? They have that... They have the
Booktown
Featherston.
It's
nice to have those kind of panels and places where readers are.
Oh yeah, it's a quite a new library. I think it was a great facility. But yeah, Featherston's a tiny little place, but it's a book town. Mm-hmm. I mean, book towns are a really specific thing internationally, and tiny little town, there's about five or six bookshops there.
The secondhand bookshops in Featherston are incredible. And also there's that wonderful one in Greytown as well. I've forgotten the name of it offhand, a new bookshop not secondhand, I mean. And that's always great to kind of go and wander around as well in the middle of the town there. So, and there are other bookshops I know in Carterton as well. But yeah, crime fiction seems to do really well in New Zealand.
Everywhere. It's one of the biggest genres, that and romance. People love it, can't get enough.
And there's things like crimeance. I know we've brought that up before, where there's romance and crime. And I mentioned before, but in Kim's new book that's coming out on September the 7th.
That's right, Fee.
I know in the Calnicks there was a romance. I haven't struck a romance in my reading so far of the corrector. So is there a romance in there?
Oh, well, there might be a tiny little bit of sprinkling of spice.
A smidgen, there we go.
Primarily crime, but there might be a little taste.
I thought that was, you know, kind of looking like a future development.
So with the book coming out, you're already writing the second one in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fourth book in the Calnicks series that you said you had also, have you completed that? Or you
still, I've started
you've
that.
You've started that. Yep. So that will come out at some stage in the future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'd love to talk to you about that one as well, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But certainly lots to look forward to. But do look up Kim Hunt in the local libraries, and obviously online as well. People can buy them through the usual channels,
just Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can get the ebook or print on demand book. And if you can't get it, if it's not in your library, just ask the librarians because they can order them. And that, or on the website. KimHuntAuthor.com.
So if so people can contact you and find out where to buy it, Does Unity have copies of any of them?
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I think I bought one off the bookshop up at Carverty.
Books and Co. They've really stocked them.
Oh, well, there we go. And also there's ebooks available, I think, through Libby as well, through libraries too, I think.
Right,
In the past, yeah. So, yes, definitely looking forward to finishing that. I'm three quarters of the way through, so that's The Corrector by Kim Hunt. And so we've just got another 6 minutes left, and we did want to talk.
Yes.
Sue's about to say something.
We're going to talk about the upcoming Pride fundraiser, Wellington Pride fundraiser, which will be, strangely enough, Pride.
Yes, the film movie. Pride, yes, oh. Which is a wonderful movie. And, in fact, I watched it again not long ago, but it's such a great movie. If you haven't seen it, then now's your opportunity. Or if you haven't seen it for a while, do come along. It's on Sunday the 10th of August, so a week from today, and tickets are $15 waged and $10 unwaged as well. It's going to be at 257, which is a venue in Willis Street, up above Unity Books, so in Willbank Court. So do look out for that. And there's going to be a bake sale in the intermission. It's old school intermission. a bake sale, and also there'll be a group sing of Bread and Roses. And as viewers of the film Pride will know, that there's such a wonderful rendition of Bread and Roses in Pride. So, if you've ever wanted to see early Andrew Scott or all of these other great actors and learn a little bit about, since it's based on a true story, about the miners and their relationship with the queer community in London in the 80s, that's good time to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in some ways it's quite a timely thing as well, that your allies aren't necessarily who seem obviously your allies in these sort of assaults on you know, so many communities. So the assaults on the queer communities, the assaults on the working population, so such a good timing for that movie to come.
Mm. Definitely, yeah.
And help Pride.
What's that?
Help Wellington Pride keep its.
Yes, exactly. For funding for Out in the City and all the other events that they do. So definitely go along. And we'll talk a wee bit more about other things that are coming up very shortly. But lastly, we're going to have, before that, we're just going to get Catch These First by Wet Leg, which is a great. Anything you'd like to say about this, Kim?
No, just another excellent chick mucking up, and thanks for having us, girls. It's always great to come and talk to you.
Cool, thanks very much, Kim.
Cheers.
Yeah.
That was Catch These First by Wet Leg, another choice from Kim Hunt. We've just got 30 seconds left of the show. So just a quick recap of the Wellington Pride event next Sunday. And there's also Glamophones, where I'm part of the Glamophones, the Rainbow Choir that meets at St Andrews on the Terrace on Thursday nights at 6:30. We've just started our second semester, so good time to come along. There's also Drag Bingo happening this Thursday at Dirty Little Secret, Campground Rainbow Comedy Night at the Ivy on Thursday as well.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.